Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, folks, good afternoon. This is Carl. It is December 4th already. Boy, it seems like recently it was this summer. The older you get, and I mean this, it appears that time is going quicker. This is Bible Study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio. I'm really, you know, this is, I started doing this in April of 2020 when all my in-person Bible studies, I went to nursing homes 6 days a week, not all day, but Wednesday, and in 1 week, all of them shut down any visitors, any volunteers, which I was, shut down for, well, for quite a period because of the COVID. And someone recommended to me that I do this. Well, the one that's going to be coming on, our co-host, Raven, and I always did have a desire to go on the radio. I don't know why. I always did. In fact, if I were to do things, if I was 70, 65 years ago and going back to school instead of studying what I studied, I'd have probably studied journalism and communication. And I don't know, radio just always interested me, even more than television. But anyhow, I've been doing it for a while, and I am very, very thankful for the people who listen. Not that there is any, you know, there's no ulterior motive in it, but I'm thankful that they listen, because when you're doing a Bible study especially, the enemy, Mr. Satan, plays mind games with you in all kinds of situations, and it's just nice to know that there's some people that are actually enjoying or getting something out of this by coming back each week. And I know there are those of you who do. And I also want to, again, extend the invitation to call in. And I'll give you a number that's toll-free from anywhere in continental United States. It's 319-527-6208. Toll-free from anywhere in continental United States. Hold on. We get Raven on here.
Hey there, Carl.
Okay. You're on. Okay. And this number, you can call in and you can comment or you can ask a question. But like always, try to keep your comment or your question pertinent to what we're talking about, just so we don't lose track of where we're going. Because any question that is truly biblically related is, it's like every verse in the Bible. You know, there's always, what's your favorite chapter? What's your favorite verse? Well, that's a, to be honest with you, that's a fluctuating or a moving target with me, because every one is important. So every question that is truly biblical, not just to harass, which we've had a lot of that, unfortunately, probably going, it hasn't really happened to me in about a year, but any question that's truly biblical is just as important as any other. But if you can keep it within the context of what we're speaking on, we'll just, it'd be easier to, for people to put it all together. Because if you do have a comment or a question on what we're speaking on, it could be very, very pertinent to a lot of people. All right, Raven, would you mind going ahead and saying a prayer for God to guide us in this?
Absolutely. Lord, we just ask that today, as always, you be in charge of our lips, our voices, our speaking, everything that we say here, Lord. We want to come from you, so that just as we ask those who call in to stick to topic, we want to stick to your topic, Lord. We want you to be the one to tell us what to say, because we know, Lord, that those who are going to listen over the next week, the next month, they're the ones who have the needs and you already know what those needs are. We love you, Lord, and we realize that this is your ministry, and we want to be the ones to do your will. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead, and just to bring everybody up to date where we were, if you weren't with us last week, where we were is that we were in Judges, and when we started Judges chapter 1, and we went from there and reading where the people were not paying attention to God. I'm going to phrase it that way. And when they would listen to God, they would have victory. When they didn't, they would get destroyed. And where, to be honest with you, we did divert a little bit here is because we ended up saying, wait a minute, we've got the same situation in churches today. And that is that there's churches, and we're not, again, I'm not going to code it in anything other than what it is. There is a plethora. It's replete in church today. The modern church, as a general rule, it's almost continuous, not in every church, but generally speaking, that we are not told to go to God first. We're not told that God is the one we want to rule us. He is the one we want to dictate to us what we should go, where we should go, when we should go, and things of that nature. So a few weeks ago, we got into reading a very interesting situation here. In Judges, we read chapter 1. And in Judges chapter 1, we read it was over and over and over and over. When the people obeyed God, they were fine. When they didn't obey God, they were just decimated. And it's not any different today, even though it's 3,500 years roughly later. So we did get on, and Raven has been, and I have been talking, and just the New Testament verses, which are amazing. I'm going to say about 70 verses that I've just noted. I haven't searched for them with a search tool or anything like that. Just that I have come up on by studying over the years where God has given us advice as what we're to do when we know we're not being directed towards the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ and our faith in him. And I've got to be honest with you, this is my phraseology. He's telling us, get out. Don't even stay for a minute. In fact, Raven, I'm going to have you read what we read on Saturday morning, which I think is very, very indicative in Ephesians chapter 5 of what God's attitude is towards false teaching. And he's not saying you don't make any stupid, silly thoughts in your mind of why you're going to listen to false teaching like I've been stupidly done in the past. He's saying you get out, slam the door, and don't go back, don't say hello, don't say goodbye, do nothing. Well, just to set the tone of where God is, and this is about 70-something verses that I found in the New Testament, read Ephesians 5, 7 through 11. I remember we read that Saturday yesterday, and I remember thinking that's a good 4 or 5 verses that show you what the Holy Spirit's attitude towards going to man, and I mean church men, including yourself, rather than God first. Go ahead and read that, 5:7 through 11.
Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them.
And this is talking about the church. the church, folks, then I'm not being critical. I have no church. Raven doesn't have a church. We're not trying to get you to come and give your money to us rather than the street up the church up the street. There's no ulterior motive. Her, she's alone. I'm sitting in a dark room as I do every Sunday alone. We're just saying that God is not going to tolerate us sitting and listening. And the classic thing I always hear from people, well, they say good things. Well, folks, that's how they can mislead you, because they do say good things. Satan is not an idiot. He's not going to come up here and tell you some Mickey Mouse formula that if you blow up an airplane, you're going to go to heaven instantly. No, no. He's going to tell you. This person's going to say good things, and they may even give you some help. Remember, Satan, what is it in Corinthians? He disguises his ministers are disguised, and he is as an angel of light. But you, it is your responsibility, and there is being there all these verses we've been reading for a couple of weeks, and probably this is our fourth week on it. All these verses, being they're here, folks, you have no excuse for allowing this stuff to continue by reading it. And I got to be honest with it. Reading these things recently, the last time I made a switch in church, these verses helped me, because the enemy's going to come in with a flood of guilt. Well, you're leaving the church. What do you think? You think you're perfect? All these other things, folks, go to God with it in prayer. Ask God where he wants you to be.
Yes.
Ask him if he wants you on this to listen to me every week. Raven and I, the only value we have is to point you to the scripture. And the scripture is Jesus Christ. John 1:1. You cannot in any way separate Jesus Christ, his total character, his total essence, from the Word of God. They are one and the same. So what we're going to do today is go ahead and start with Titus now, and I'll get back to Titus. And then we're going to go back to Judges and read more of that. But Judges is going to show you what we're going to read in Judges, the disaster that happened to people because they would not separate from false doctrine. And we're going to see, and there are consequences. You're not going to get away with it. And this is not me being critical of anybody, because you don't even know where I am, most of you, in the United States. So I'm not criticizing your pastor, your church. It's just it's the Holy Scripture, the Holy Spirit's word. So let's listen to him. We're going to go to Titus 3 and read 1 through 7. So why don't you read that, and then we'll come back and take each verse. 1 through 12,
right.
I'm sorry. Whoa, didn't I tell you? Wait, I screwed up.
Titus 1, right? We're starting in Titus 1?
Yeah, that's my mistake. 10 through 14, I apologize.
Okay, Titus 1, 10 through 14. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. I thought I was missing part. Lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth.
Now, do you see where that's written to the church, folks? Don't make any mistake about it. Don't make any mistake about it. The epistles, every one of them, are written to believers. Well, let me read the beginning of Titus. I, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and according to the knowledge of the truth, which is after godliness, He is speaking to the church here, folks. He's not talking to the unsaved people. In fact, let me read the rest. But hath in this due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So this is his preaching, and you preach to the believers. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace and mercy and peace from God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the people he's talking to. These are the church people. So let's go back to what then that Raymond read here in 10 through 14, dealing with false teachers. You've got to take action. You can't use the lame excuse that I did for a while. Well, God wants you to be a fisherman. Yes, he does. Oh, that means a fisherman has to go where the fish are, right, Carl? Oh, yes. That's exactly what stupid Carl thought. Therefore, stupid Carl was willing to sit with a lot of things that she should have been out of there and not listening to, because don't think false doctrine won't affect you. This is why the Holy Spirit, this is our fourth week of talking about these verses just in the New Testament, is it's not the Holy Spirit just wants your ears to be pure and clean and never hear anything wrong. This stuff will affect your mind.
Yeah.
So here we're back down to Titus 1:10. There are many unruly, vain talkers and deceivers, especially of the circumcision. What was the circumcision? That was the religious church. That was the church of Israel. That was the only church that believed in the living God. All the other religions of the world, Israel was the only place that really had the one true God, Yahweh. All the others worship false gods. Now remember, this was the circumcision, but this was in the New Testament. After they did go, and God told them after the stoning of Stephen, he says, don't go anymore. He first originally said, you're to preach and teach and spread the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But after they stoned Stephen to death, God then said to the apostles, including Paul, who gave thumbs up to stoning Stephen, he told them, leave the house of Israel. They are a rebellious child. They do not listen to what you say. And he told them, he says, now go in through Western Europe and Asia and even in the African continent, which they did. And the result is they wrote these all these epistles in wherever they had churches, Paul wrote to encourage the believers, the new believers. But it all started when he's talking about now the false doctrine, he's going back to the false doctrine of the church of Israel, which he calls the circumcision. And they were the enemies of Christianity at that time. Even now, the religion of Judaism still does not accept that the man who died 2,000 years ago that they called Jesus Christ was the coming of Christ. The Old Testament and every prophet and every chapter of the Old Testament prophesied there would be a Messiah, a Savior. They still believe that he has yet to come the first time. So these people, he was using the circumcision. He was using the religion of Judaism, that they had made a religion out of it, because the whole Old Testament and all of Judaism was to point to the coming Messiah. But they made a religion out of the demands that he set forth in the Old Testament on their obeying those religious items rather than who it was pointing towards. And we're no different today in the church. We've got people that worship baptism by water. They honestly think you're not going to go to heaven unless you're baptized by water. We've got people today that worship pastors. They worship Bible teachers. They worship televangelists. I mean, this is common, folks. This is nothing new. Even if you're not a believer, you understand that this business of so-called Christianity is a very, very huge, worldwide encompassing, and it's growing by leaps and bounds daily. And they're making, people are doing, is rather than looking at all these rules and regulations, which are showing us the tremendous, infinite, perfect character of God, instead of us seeing Jesus Christ in him and more of him in the laws that are set forth, we're making a religion or a worship service out of the law. For instance, I went to church this morning, as I always do, and I know that in the building there are people who are convinced that you cannot go to heaven unless you're baptized in water. And that is the thing that they were... In fact, you know what, Raven? I'm going to put something in there we haven't done yet. Well, we've done it, but not this, with this conversation. Let's just show why he's writing these verses, why they were told to leave the house of Israel, leave Judaism, and bring the gospel message to the Western Europe, to Greece, to Rome, to Asia, and also to the northern parts of Africa. Go to Romans 9 and just read 30 through 32. Just read that, and that'll bring us up to date. Yeah, this is what happened, what caused the fact that the people of God's Old Testament people, that he was revealing himself as a Messiah, and since Genesis chapter 3 that I see, revealing himself as the Messiah, they made a religion not out of absorbing who all of the Old Testament pointed towards, but they made a religion out of their ability to obey the commandments without even caring what the commandments pointed towards. Go ahead and read that.
What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled
works of the law.
At that stumbling stone.
Is rather than accepting the faith in Christ that the Old Testament was pointing towards, they took every little statement in the Old Testament and they made a religious law about that. And baptism by water is a perfect example that we do today. I've been baptized by water. I advocate it. I definitely advocate it. But there are people today that I sat in church with that I know that believe unless they were baptized by water, Christ is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and read 32 again. Or read it.
Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone.
And what is a stumbling stone? It's Christ. It is Christ.
Yeah.
All of the Old Testament was pointing from Genesis 3:15. Actually, I believe it was Genesis 2:25. And a fellow that Raven and I do studies with every Saturday named Jim pointed out to me in Genesis 2, I'm wrong there. Just bear with me here. Genesis 3, actually 3:15 of Genesis, it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was God's speaking to Satan, or saying that the seed of the woman, which is Jesus Christ, he would have his heel bruise, which is an injury, but God will crush Satan by bruising his head in Jesus Christ. And then in 3:21 of Genesis, and this is what Jim gave me, unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And that's exactly what the gospel in Jesus Christ represents, is after how many years, 4,000 years of the people of Israel hearing about the coming Messiah. And I think it was somewhere in the area of 250 messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled every one of them, every one. And this prophecies of the coming Messiah, that he was the one. And yet what they did is they tried to, by obeying the law in their own strength, they felt that was a circumcision. That's why Paul called them the people of the circumcision. They're not looking and accepting, they're not looking to accept righteousness by faith in the perfect one, Jesus Christ, as we're instructed. They were the ones who were believing the circumcision, that you had to be circumcised in order to go to heaven. They were not believing Christ was enough. We're no different. Modern Christianity today, it's never been any different. The enemy is always going to use something else. Always going to use something else. The religion I grew up in, we believe in a place called purgatory. And purgatory, by its very nature, is you go there and you burn and suffer the same torture of hell, but you're going to get out once you've paid the penalty for your sin. That is saying the same thing, folks, that we do today. And we make fun of this denomination or this religion, whatever you want to call it, because they believe in purgatory. But we also believe that you can't be saved fully unless you do what? You get baptized by water. Now, tell you what, let's give a little history of this, because I'm not against Catholicism. I'm not against Judaism. I'm just reading the scripture. Let's go to Acts 15:1 and show where the problem started. This idea of Christ is not enough. And believe me, it's pandemic in the church today, just as purgatory used to be when I was growing up.
I'm sorry, what was that verse you said? Acts what?
Acts 15:1.
15:1, okay.
Let's see where it comes in. It first started. In fact, this was so serious that Paul even stopped his missionary journeys and went back to Jerusalem to debate this with the people.
And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore,
okay, now just
when
think, nope, that's it, 15:1.
Okay.
Now just think of this, folks. What a woman do? And that's what I usually hear. Don't make light of this.
Right.
When we do the same thing, folks, if we add anything at all that depends on me doing anything, that my faith is in addition to Jesus Christ, that's exactly what happened in Acts 15:1. They didn't tell them not to believe in Christ. Oh, no. No, these were believers. These were believers, folks. They did not tell them not to believe in Christ, but they added something. To them, it was circumcision. Today, it's baptism. It's your church, your denomination, your pastor, the spiritual gifts you have, confirm it. I mean, we don't think that because we got the sign Protestant on our church that we are any different from those who believe in purgatory, or any different than those in Acts 15:1. Now, listen to what she just said about those believers who added that you have to be circumcised. By the time you get to verse 15:5, it was just circumcision. Read 5 and see how far it expanded.
But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses.
You see what they've went to from just one thing? And we do the same thing today, folks. Trust me, we do. You got to give so much money. You got to have a certain spiritual gift. You got to be baptized. The minute you add one thing to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you are putting yourself dangerously in Romans 9:30 through 32. Where Raven read, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained the law of righteousness. They followed it for 40,000 years. Why didn't they attain it? Verse 32, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by obeying the law. You've got to see this, if there's any element in you that is trusting, and don't think Raven and I don't fall into this trap. Well, we do something, or we are able to give somebody some help from the Bible and any thousands of circumstances. But don't think that, and I have not talked to you about this specifically, Raven, but I'm sure you've had things come up in your mind where you start thinking, man, I'm getting pretty good with this stuff. I've done it, folks. It's terrible.
Yes.
And you don't need someone out there that you're paying after tax income to be telling you that you need to be circumcised or baptized or anything else.
No.
You don't need them to say, now you've got to obey the whole law of Moses, because the enemy doesn't stop with one fallacy. If you're going to buy into baptism by water as a necessity, didn't say baptism was not a necessity. It most certainly is. That's Romans chapter 6, 3 through 6. That has nothing to do with water baptism. But you read Romans 6, 3 through 6. That is a necessity, or you are going to the lake of fire for all eternity. But not by water. But when you add one thing. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Carl, I think I've talk to you about this. I've been in, you know, churches where they say, you have to grow your hair long for women. You must wear your dresses down to your, you know, down to your calves or down to your ankles. You know, your women are only allowed to wear dresses. You can't wear slacks. That was a huge thing. So this is the same exact
Raven, it's pandemic today, and not only pandemic today from one denomination to the other, but within the biggest denominations in the United States, we've got groups that argue with each other about what rules and regulations they must follow.
Oh, absolutely, because this was when I was in a particular denomination – which when we went from one church and then into a different church, and they had completely different rules. I mean, in one church, it was okay to wear.
Yep.
Yeah, in one, it was okay to wear slacks, but it wasn't okay to wear shorts. In another church, it was like women could wear. Women, you know, had to wear dresses, but men could pretty much wear whatever they wanted. I mean, it was, I've never been so confused by anything in my whole life, Carl.
Raven,
but you know what, you know when I got rid of the confusion? I got rid of the confusion when I really became saved. But a second thing happened. I allowed the Holy Spirit to lead me. That's the difference.
So we're talking about people here in Titus and Romans and all the epistles about who are truly saved or claim to be. But the enemy is still going to try to work in and get you to do something. Now, what Raven's not saying is she's saying you don't go to church with your dress up to your hip. You don't go to church with it. You know, okay, well, I'm going to make a point. You don't go to church revealing, you know, the front of you right down to your waist. That's ridiculous, because people could say, well, then, Raven, you're saying it doesn't make any difference how women dress. No, she's not saying that. The point of the matter is these people were making a rule. You don't need rules. All you need is to be convinced that you go to Jesus Christ. He will give you the strength to do it. You don't need man's rules and regulations about what version
right.
of the Bible you read, about how long your skirt is. If you are a believer and you are walking by faith in Jesus Christ, he will give you that. You don't need to obey man-made rules.
That's it
if
right
you
there,
need
Carl.
Man-made rules. In fact, Raven, I'll say something. If you have to depend on man-made rules to follow Christ, then I'm going to make a wild statement. It's possible you're not born again, which you even have
yes.
told me the only way you got out of this was when you were born again. So you're never
yes.
thought of that, but that's, you're saying that. You cannot
yes.
stay in these churches, folks, that are preaching and teaching anything but go to Christ with every problem you've got. I don't
right.
care if it's the way you dress. I don't care if it's the worst habit, the worst addiction. The problem with any of this stuff is sin, and the only solution of any of sin is Jesus Christ, period. Not telling
yes.
Raven how she's dressed. Then she goes to another church and the dress code is different. And then you're confused.
Right.
You don't know what to do. Get away from all of it. Go to someone who is preaching one thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And please, folks,
amen.
If you're taking an offense at what I'm saying, please read Romans 9, 30, 31, and 32 and read it. Read it to yourself and read it slowly. Israel, who followed after righteousness for 4,000 years, never attained it. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but by obeying the works of the law. And the works of the law are made by whom? Man. We're not saying don't they obey the Ten Commandments. But even the Ten Commandments, you and I haven't got a snowball's chance on the equator in the middle of July of obeying the Ten Commandments, not even one of them. It is still
nope.
Jesus Christ in you that gives you the strength to do it.
That's
don't
right.
go listen to man-made rules and regulations about anything. And again,
yeah.
when someone says, well, then you're justifying women dressing immodestly. No. I'm saying that they're doing that. The evidence may be that they're not born again, because a born-again person is not going to draw illicit sexual attention to themselves in church. They're not going to do it.
Right. Now
that
Carl, I'm not
yeah,
saying that the second that you are born again, you're going to become perfect. That doesn't
no,
happen.
Right,
that's
nope,
the purpose
nope.
of James 1, 2 through 4. That's the purpose
yep.
of it.
Yep. We understand
but,
that. But again,
yeah.
You don't obey these rules of modesty or anything else by man's little gizmo tricks on how to do it, by the length of your skirt, or what you it's ridiculous to say you should ignore those things, but you don't get it by obeying a certain church's rules. You get it
yeah.
by trusting just what it says here. Israel followed not after the law of righteousness, and nor did they attain it. Why? Because they sought it by obeying the law rather than faith. Now, what Raven
yeah.
is saying now, after you accept this fact in 32, Romans 9, you may not change as rapidly as you think you should.
Right.
What she's saying is you don't become perfect. We're not saying that. Well, one thing, you sure don't become perfect by obeying God, man's law rather than God's law. You see that? You don't
yeah.
become perfect by obeying that. In fact, let's go to Mark 7, please.
All right.
This is a hot topic. This is, folks, this is what is destroying the modern church today that I've seen for the last 36 years. And it's I've only been a believer for 36 years. But she's going to read now to you exactly where the bane has been in the church and it always will be. I want you to read Mark 7, and I want you to read
uh-huh.
6, and I want you to read 6 through to 9 and read it slowly.
All right. He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'"
As opposed to faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Makes sense? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." And he said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition."
Now read 13.
"And you no longer let him do anything for his father or his," making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do.
Okay, now, I want you after that to go to, why is Raven reading this, and slowly and emphatically? Because this could have everlasting consequences if you don't repent of your good things. Go to Galatians 5 and read 2 and 4 of Galatians 5.
If you don't mind, I have another set of verses here, a couple of verses that I have written next to this that go right with this. Matthew 23:26-29. "Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish. First cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteousness, and say, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.'" But basically what he's saying, I could have stopped actually at 27.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's the same thing. He's saying, listen, you clean up the outside, but it's your inside that's filthy.
Yeah. And that's what obeying man-made laws without pointing them to Jesus Christ. Because the only one who can change you from dressing like a slut, or from doing anything you shouldn't do, being addicted to pornography, being addicted to power, being addicted to money, being addicted to anything, the only one that can help you with this is Jesus Christ. That's why I want you to read Romans 9:30, 31, and 32, please, after we're done, slowly. You've got to take it as it's pointing to you. Because the enemy is going to take someone, Raven, like you, who grew up all their life, maybe have walked away from God, but they still knew all the time that there was a day of reckoning and they had to come back to God. The enemy is going to work on you as hard as he can to get you to satisfy that inherent attraction that you have to God by obeying man-made rules. Now, I want you to go, we'll fast forward. Well, why does Raven even want to read this stuff, or Carl? Let's go to Galatians 5 and read 2 and 4 and show the eternal consequences if you continue and die in this believing in man-made laws. And I don't mean just believing, but I mean if your faith is not totally in Christ, but you believe that you had to do something, whether it's a gift you had, it was a version of the Bible, the denomination you went to, the way you were baptized, and there are Christians supposedly say they are. Who even are you about the type of baptism?
Yes.
Read 5, 2, and 4 in Galatians.
Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing.
Now, think
you
of that.
Have become...
Christ will profit us. Hold on. These are ravens.
Yeah.
I'm a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's saying that if I continue trusting in circumcision or baptism by water or speaking in tongues or not speaking in tongues or anything else,
yeah.
if I add anything to Christ, Christ will profit you nothing. Can anybody not see, folks, that this means a lake of fire for eternity? Now, in case
yeah.
that didn't hit you, take out your bigger baseball bat. Like, don't take a 28 bat out. Take a 36 out and give us another hit in the knees. Read verse 4.
You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace.
And read Ephesians 2:8. How are we saved?
Ephesians 2:8.
Verse 4. The first three or four words. We are saved by what? Don't go any further. What are we saved by?
For by grace you have been saved through faith.
There, stop right there. We've been saved by grace. And just read 5:4 of Galatians again. The last phrase.
You have fallen from grace. Yeah.
And if you're saved by grace, is anybody going to sit here and argue denominational arguments about once saved, always saved, unconditional? No, I don't even want to get into that kind. I won't even entertain that on the radio. I want to read what the Bible says. Ephesians 2:8, the words of the Holy Spirit. You are saved by grace. Doesn't save you. The grace of God, the infinite mercy, the infinite love, that is what saved you. It was his grace, something you don't earn or deserve. The minute you put anything into that that depends on your earning it or your being fulfilling rather than 100% Christ, look at what Paul says here. And it's the Holy Spirit that inspired every word. You are fallen from grace. You don't want to even get within 5 million yards of that, 5 million miles of that. Just look at this for those people who say, no, it's all right, Carl. God's prevenient grace. You can look at pornography. God understands you're weak. No, we can't. Because then what I do to get away from the guilt of any of my sin is I now say, I am going to take steps to make sure I obey the law. I am now not even going back to the only one who can keep me from any addiction or any sin. You cannot follow anything, folks, other than Christ. Nothing. Now, Paul, you see in Romans and Galatians 5:2, he is using circumcision because circumcision was the hot number in those days. And
right.
Raven read that in Acts 15:1. Unless you be circumcised, you cannot follow Christ. And then in four more verses, they came down to 5:5. Well, now, not only do you have to be circumcised, but you have to obey the whole Mosaic law. You've fallen by grace. And if you're saved by grace, folks, and you're no longer in grace, what does that sound like to you? I won't even say it. You draw the conclusion. Nobody listening to this is stupid enough not to understand that. It's going
right.
to contradict most church teaching, I'm going to tell you. And I'm not just referring to one denomination. I'm referring to the ones who add other little things. Your spiritual gifts are non-functional. They're powerless unless you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit after baptism into faith in Christ. subsequent to that, baptized by the Holy Spirit and have the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. I've got a very famous evangelist in writing his commentary to say that the spiritual gifts are powerless unless you have this initial evidence of speaking in tongues. I believe in the initial evidence. I believe in speaking in tongues. I firmly believe in it. But I'm saying the Bible does not say that. Don't add anything to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, including your spiritual gifts and how to use them and what to use them for and when to use them. He's the only one that can tell you. You don't go to Carl to learn how to use a spiritual gift. And that's done right in the town or in the vicinity of where Raven and I live. There are numerous places to give you lessons on how to love, how to speak in tongues, how to interpret. Folks, if it's a spiritual gift, what more can a man, an idiot like me, teach you than what God can? My job is to point you to Jesus Christ and Him crucified and let Him handle it, because He's the only one that can.
Amen.
Don't get caught up in this stuff. Raven and I are passionate about this because we've both been caught up in it like idiots. And I tried for years, and she knows that I tried to get this until one of their own group called me and said, Carl, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Everything that I said to him. Well, they told me I got to do this. He said, read the Bible. And he would give me verses. He would give me verses. And the irony, Raven, is that man, I told you, that he actually had the legitimate gift. But he says you don't seek the gift. You seek the one who gives the gift.
Yes.
Okay. All right, now we can go back. This is exactly what Raven's reading in Titus 1, 10 through 14. Now she's going to read Titus 3, 1 through 7. Anybody who adds or takes away Jesus Christ and Him crucified as 100% object of your faith, you've got to get away from it. Go to Titus 3, 1 through 7. Same
All right.
Thing.
Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
Okay, now stop right there. So this is showing you that the epistle that Paul is writing to Titus, he's not saying, he's telling us, speak evil of no man, do not be a brawler, be gentle, show meekness and all. Sometimes we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Paul is saying this is a problem. But the way you're trying to solve that problem by establishing rules and regulations for yourselves isn't going to solve the problem. Now, you just read that again. Now start with what Paul is saying to do about verses 1, 2, and 3 that are a problem. Here's the solution. Read 4 through 7.
But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done.
I'm glad you emphasized that we. That was perfect. She emphasized, emphatic, that word. She put all the highlights of the emphasis on we. He's not saying that you live in 1 through 3 because God's a big God and He overlooks sin. No, that's ridiculous. He died to end it. But she's saying you don't solve the problems of verses 1 through 3, which we've all inherited from the fall of Adam and Eve, by your own ability. In fact, Romans verse 4 is exactly the definition of grace, I would say.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Okay, keep going. We've got to get out of verses 1 through 3. They're horrible. But you don't
yes.
do it by establishing laws that are not faith pointing you to faith in Christ. Go ahead.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit.
That is salvation.
Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
I don't know what else we could say.
Yes.
If you're still, folks, going to depend on something that you do rather than 100% on Jesus Christ, and verses 4 and 5 here, especially 4, actually 4 through 7, I don't know what else to do to make it any clearer. Now, having said all that, there was a period of time in my life when I believed. I believed these little fence laws. If I've got a problem with something, just don't go into the city where it exists, and that'll solve the problem. No, it won't. Because when I'm trying to overcome sin in the flesh, the only thing I think of is sin. It's a big green elephant in the living room. Nobody talks about
right.
it, but everybody knows. You wake up in the middle of the night, it haunts you. You go to bed at night, it haunts you. You get up in the morning, and it's right there, even though nobody speaks about it. That is religion, guilt, obeying man-made laws. Mark 7 and Matthew, when we read Matthew's, Mark 7, just hold on. Raven gave us with Mark 7, Matthew 23. Roughly 25
yes.
to 30. Those are man-made laws, and Christ doesn't want you. He is saying, please come and trust me alone, and I will give you the ability to avoid these things that you can't do. You and I were never given the ability to do it. And that's Romans 8,
yeah.
1 through 4. Okay? Now read 8 and 9. These are good. You want to put up some, you want some advice from the Holy Spirit? Read 8 and 9.
This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly.
Constantly.
That those who have
constantly. Constantly.
Yeah. That those
okay.
who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works.
Ah,
these
now,
things are...
Look at, hold on, Raven. How do you get the good
yeah.
works? What comes first?
Salvation comes
first. Absolutely.
The Holy Spirit.
God. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's, in fact, you know what, Raven? Go to Titus 2:1 or 2:11.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to
yeah.
say the same thing. I want to prove here that what she just read in verse 8 of chapter 3 is that believing in God, salvation, is the way to maintain good works. Read Titus 2:11.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men.
And what's the result of it? Read verse 14. As a result of being saved, what's the result?
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works.
So you see, with the good
he
works, we're not saying,
redeems
yeah,
us.
We're not saying don't do them, but you go to him. You don't go to Carl
yeah.
to find out what your gifts are or what your works that God has predestined since time began, which is 2 Timothy 1:9. You don't go to us. You go to God. And if you're
yeah.
truly born again and you keep faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified, we just read in verses 8 and 9 of Titus 3, that this salvation and faith in God precedes your good works. We just read in Titus 2:11 that you're saved, and then in 14, that salvation is what God then works to make you zealous of good works. Let's go to another one. It's even easier, Raven. Let's go to Ephesians 2:8-9. This is even easier to follow.
Hold on, let me get there.
No problem. I'm not going anywhere that I know of. Not till 5:30.
In fact, there's something in verse 10 also that's really important. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Now,
we are his.
Okay,
yes, for we are his workmanship. We're his workmanship. He's the one that does the works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for beforehand that we should walk in them.
And that's after
God
salvation.
Prepares our good works.
Okay, but see, in all of these three things we've read, Titus 3:8-9, Titus 2:11-14, Ephesians 2:8-10, the good works follow faith in Jesus Christ only.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But we also see, Carl, that God prepares those good works for us. In other words, he's the one that works them in us.
Okay, but I'll tell you what. Preparing these good works for us. Go to 2 Timothy 1:9.
Mm-hmm.
That'll tell you when he prepared these good works for us.
Oh, yeah.
And yet we're going to come to an idiot like Carl and ask him, what work should I be doing to serve God? Why would you ask me when I don't even have a clue on my own? I've got to go to God. Don't be taken by these people who promise you a gold mine and they give you at best the shaft, in the words of Jerry Reed.
Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began.
Do you see where that fits right in with Ephesians 2:10? We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that God gave us. God gave us the good works, not Pastor Carl, and I'm not a pastor.
Yeah.
Or my commentary, which I don't have. I'm not saying you don't go to people. What I'm saying is we want to go to people to the exclusion of God. And this is a problem that existed in Samuel's day. Raven, I want you to read 1 Samuel 8:6. This problem of going to man is part of the fall that we have been hassled with and tempted with since ever. Since Adam and Eve fell. And let's prove it. Well, she's going to read in 1 Samuel 8:6. We want to go, we as part of our fallen nature. We don't want God. We want man to tell us what to do.
But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord.
Okay. Now, let me show you the sad part, folks. The real tragedy. If you're going to continue to want a king rather than God, she's now going to read to you verses 19-22 in 1 Samuel 8. And if you're going to want to live with a king rather than going to God, there's going to come a day when God's going to say, Samuel, let them have their king. And we are living under what the kings have done to us today. That's why Christianity in the modern church is looked at as a joke. Listen to some of the more solid people that do Bible studies on Christian Satellite Network and all your Christian radio stations locally. And I won't mention the names, but this last week I heard three sermons I had to go to a doctor for the treatment of skin cancer. And then going and coming, three sermons were very, very well-known ministers who were solid biblically. They all had the same theme, and that is get away from listening to church. Get away from listening to man unless they point you to Jesus Christ. And these are big names, and I mean the biggest. I don't want to mention them and then start a battle with that. But she's now going to, if I'm going to say, I'm going to continue for 40 years like Israel did and put my faith in what I do rather than Christ, eventually, and tell God, I don't want you ruling me anymore. I want a king. Read 19 through 22, and let's see what God will do if we persist.
I'm going to start in 18 because I think this is exactly
right
where
ahead.
We are.
Go ahead.
And you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.
Oh yeah.
And Samuel heard all the words
of
the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord.
And what did the Lord,
so the Lord
do
said,
finally?
So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel.
Do we really want this? Do you want to persist? Are you going to persist in this? And you're going to sit here and say, I listened to these two idiots. Not that we're not idiots, but we're reading the scripture. And, you know, all they want to do is break up my church. And I've had that accusation leveled on me, which amazed me because I went to the church at the time. But I'm telling you, folks, you take this for what you want. We can say anything we want, which is totally ridiculous, or it can be anywhere from totally truth to totally ridiculous, but you can't manipulate the Word of God. You want to continue in 1 Samuel 8 and constantly say, I don't care. Samuel gave them in verses 8 through 17 all the things the kings are going to do to hurt them, and they didn't care. We want a king. Are you still relying on the verses, on the translation of the Bible you're using, on water baptism, on anything you do, your commitment, your resolve, your steadfastness, your righteousness? Folks, and don't add anything to Jesus Christ and him crucified. Remember, they started in Israel with one thing, and that was circumcision. And four verses later, they said, now you got to obey all the commandments of God. You can't do it. That's why it pointed to Christ for 4,000 years. Only Christ can wash this iniquity. In fact, let's go back to what you read there in Titus. You read Titus chapter 2. I think it was 2. Let me just bear with me. Let me get back to it. You actually read this in Titus. Titus 2. Read 14.
Yes. He who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed.
Amen.
And purify for himself his own special people, zealous
for
good work.
Why are we trusting in men? Why are we trusting in man's human intelligence and wisdom rather than God? Now go to 1 Corinthians 2:2. Why are we doing this? Because we want a king. We don't want God, because with God there's no debate. I can get upset with Raven for any reason in the world and say I'm no longer going to follow what she's saying because she's a hypocrite. But I can't do that when I'm being guided only by the Word of God. There is no debate.
For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Now read why. Verse 5 is the reason why.
that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Okay. Back to these exhortations. Let's go to 2 John, which you probably have memorized as often as we read it. 2 John, and I want you to read 7 through 11. And before she starts, I'm saying, oh, Raven, you're not biblical. We can't lose our salvation. We can't. We got not. Nobody can take it from you, folks. But Hebrews 3:12 very, very explicitly states, take heed, brethren, meaning believers, lest any of you depart from the living God through unbelief. Now, she's going to read, and this is the words of the Holy Spirit. These are not Carl's words. Carl used to believe that he could do anything he wanted, and he was saved no matter what, as long as he was anointed or baptized or whatever the little gizmo was. Do the baptism. Do all that stuff, but your faith is in Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yes. For many deceivers.
There you go.
Yes. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward.
Now, why, Raven? And I'm not arguing theology. I'm going back to a course I had 200 years ago in college called logic. Why would the Holy Spirit say this? Look to yourself that you don't lose them if you can't.
Right.
I mean, just let's forget theology. We came off a spaceship. The planet we came from, you know, there is no God. We're all on our own. I'm just saying logistically, why would the Holy Spirit waste his time?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, go ahead. 9.
Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son.
Now, think of that. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Well, I believe in God. No, you don't. Why? John 1, what is it? John 1, 10:30. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. That's in red. Well, I don't believe that. That's your choice. Jesus Christ is, God is in Christ. Christ is in God. Jesus Christ said, they said, show me the way to the Father. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 10:30, he couldn't have been any clearer. In red, I and the Father are one. The reason you don't have the Father, if you don't have the Son, folks, is because they are one. Read the Bible. Don't go to people's interpretation.
Yes.
All right, you're in 2 John. Go to 10.
If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds.
Now, is that something that you feel the Holy Spirit is serious about? Just look at this. Well, Carl, you've got to know. Pastor Carl says, we got to be nice. I didn't say you'd be rude to the people. I didn't say you slam the door in their face like some people told me. Well, I showed them I stand for Christ. I told them to get the blank out of here and slam the door in their face. No, that's not what it's saying. Let's get serious about this. If anyone does not bring this doctrine of Jesus Christ and him alone, nothing added, nothing subtracted. Do not receive them into your house or bid them Godspeed. Doesn't you mean you tell them to go to where the fire goes for all eternity? That's not what it's saying, but you don't wish them Godspeed. You don't tell them, I hope Carl, I hope your ministry goes well. I hope you have a lot of people following you. When you know I'm preaching false doctrine, and we do this, folks, we do it. Get away from them. It's like a rattlesnake. You don't go to bed and if you see on the sheets, you don't lay down when on that bed is a rattlesnake. You don't do it. This is a rattlesnake, but it could kill you for eternity. That's what verse number 8 says. Look yourselves, we do not lose the things which we have wrought.
This should be one of the very first things that we are taught. In Hebrews 6:1, Paul says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. He says, these are the elementary principles of God, of Christ. It's the foundation.
Raven, to be honest with you, until not long ago, and I'm talking 36-year span,
yeah,
I was still trying to walk in both sections.
I absolutely understand.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is the churches, most of the churches, are not teaching the elementary principles of Christ, the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. They're not teaching.
That is correct. Think of that. You can't repent unless you turn to God.
Yes. Repentance from dead works. Hebrews 6:1.
The good works. These are the good works that we're doing.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead, Hebrews 6:1.
Hebrews 6:1. I mean, if every church in the nation just opened up to Hebrews 6:1 and taught the entire church that verse, you know, we would have a huge change in the church.
Read it.
Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. But he's saying, listen, you should already be there. You should already know this. But too many people don't. They don't. They have been fed a lie from the beginning.
Amen. And okay, but then I'm going to say, okay, Raven, then you're saying you know more than the churches. No. Raven doesn't know anything. Raven takes all her knowledge from the Bible, period. And that's what Second John is saying. He who do many deceivers into the world. And it says here that whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, what we're telling you is go to the doctrine of Jesus Christ and him crucified and stay there forever. Anything else, question it.
Yeah, all I'm doing is reading the Bible.
No,
that's all I'm doing.
Now, that's the only reason, Raven, that I will give you any, that what's the word, that I give any weight to what she says. I listen to her radio program every Wednesday night from 7:30 to 9 Eastern time. Not because we know each other or we've gone to the same church or any of that other silliness. It's because she is only going by the Bible, and I'm not being political here because I've got no gain politically. I'm 80 years old. I sit in a dark room every Sunday and do this. I just want to get people away from the same needless waste of time and frustration and actually hating just the thought of the Bible, because everybody was telling me what to do, and I, like a dummy, was submitting to them I wanted a king. I did not want Christ following me, obviously, or following me. I did not want to follow him alone. I wanted a man that would be my hero. No, there ain't no one that's your hero other than someone like John the Baptist, which were to be, who said, he must increase, I must decrease. That's the person I want to follow. And the church's folks are not doing it. I wish I felt free to mention these names of these people who are saying the churches are failures. One of them is Dr. Jack Blank. The church has been a failure. He says, when are we going to realize it? He said, I'm not saying every church or your church. He says, in general, we failed. We are Laodicea. Again, I've got no motive to criticize your church or anyone's church because I don't have a church for you to come to donate money to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
any other thoughts on this? Because this, Raven, this is key. We got to get off of this elementary things of that first we started with. The reason we don't get off the elementary things we first started with is because I'm afraid that more than half the people going to church on Sunday, honestly, are not born again. If their faith is in anything other than Christ and him crucified, they're walking in dangerous ground.
Yes, and it's because they were not taught, and again, I say the same thing as you, Carl. I'm not saying any particular person. I'm not saying if you're listening that you weren't saved. I don't know you, but I am saying that I have gone to churches. I have sat there, under a pastorship for, a certain length of time and then realized this church isn't even preaching, Christ and him crucified. What they're preaching is what I call easy believism. All you have to do is repeat after me. Say this prayer, and then come up and we'll dunk you underneath the water and you are now saved. That is not salvation.
Maybe, that easy believism, that reminds me of something that goes back over 30 years ago when I was traveling in New England. When you get up in the Maine and New Hampshire, you don't have many local stations, Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire. You're mainly getting the stations out of Boston. And there was a station in Boston, a 50,000-watt station, and a lady would come on about 3 or 3:30 every day. And her name of her program was the Church of Cheap Grace. And your statement just made me think of that. The Church of Cheap Grace.
It's cheap, all right.
No repentance from sin.
Right.
Just the Church of Cheap Grace. Now, you read Hebrews 6:1 again, and I'm going to give you another verse.
All right. Yeah, I mean, we have to understand if somebody's just telling you, repeat after me, do you really understand repentance? Do you really understand Christ if you have to be told what to pray? I'm just saying, Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God.
Now go to 1 Timothy 6 and read 20 and 21.
All right. In there. First Timothy 6:6-6. 20 and 21.
Yeah, that goes right along with what you just read now in Hebrews 6:1.
O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and vain babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Yes.
You see where that
knowledge.
Goes with your, yeah. You see where that goes? That goes right along
yeah.
with what you read in Hebrews 6:1.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. You know, I know I've told you. I went for about 12 years thinking that I was saved because I had prayed a prayer that someone had told me to pray and thinking I was on my way to heaven.
Of course.
You know, well, all the time I was striving to do my good works and failing miserably. Failing.
You can't do it.
I was
impossible.
No. But I was doing all the little legalist stuff. I was wearing my dresses long. I was keeping my but I knew on the inside I was a mess.
You know, Raven, let me stop you there. In my most religious days, I still, when the lights went out at night, I still knew I was in trouble.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know it. There's something in you, just like when you're truly born again, you can't answer other than the Holy Spirit confirms with your spirit that you are a child. I can't answer how, but you know it.
Yes. Yes. Now, do I still have issues? Of course, I'm still human. But I know, like you said, the Holy Spirit confirms that I am saved. I know that what I'm getting is chastisement. I'm getting conviction from the Holy Spirit. I'm not living in guilt.
Even more important than that, what you said in the beginning, I want to go back to. He also let you know when you are a wannabe.
Yes. Oh,
he
yeah.
He let you know when you've told me numerous times. In fact, one day on the radio, I think it was, I said to you, but Raven, you may have been saved, and you very, very quickly said, no, I knew I wasn't. But you were being deceived. But you knew in your heart. And that's what we're telling people. Examine yourself under the Holy Spirit, not under Carl's rules and regulations. Get rid of that junk.
Yes. Yeah. My flesh had been given this false belief, but there was deep inside me this knowledge that
Amen.
I was not saved.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right, we've covered some good territory today. We're going to next week, Raven, you may put down, I'm going to take verse 8 from John, 2 John 7 through 11. In fact, we've done that. I apologize. That's what we did. We just took verse 8 of 2 John 7 through 11 and likened it with 1 Timothy 6:20. Okay. Next week, we're going to start on... remember, we started with Judges. We're now going to go to Judges chapter 2. And I want to get, to be honest with you, I want to go through chapter 4 of Judges and just show you the repeated failure of us to want to go to man's religion and rules rather than strictly focusing on Christ and show you this lasted 450 years with constant failure and God constantly forgiving. And for a couple of years, they obeyed God. Then they wandered away again and went on their own with their own religious ideas. And they got destroyed. 34,000 in one day fell. I want to just show this is happening to believers. These were the people whose ancestors came through the Red Sea. These people were the only believers. And it can happen to us. That's the point of all, that it can happen to us. Why don't you now, so I don't interrupt anybody, we only got less than a minute, let's just thank the Holy Spirit for his moving.
Father, we thank you so much for giving us verses that apply in the midst of our study, for showing us exactly what you want us to hear. Because, Lord, without you, we are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. And this is what we appreciate so much, is your grace, your mercy, your love that shows up in our lives so that we can share it with others. In Christ's name.
Okay, I thank you for partaking. We will be back next week, folks. Lord willing, thank you for listening. Take care, everyone.
Amen.